There's so much in this particular chapter, but I'm going to deal with just a couple of things, especially two verses that you'll find there in verse 8 and 9. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. I want to talk about Christ, worthy of our worship. In fact, he alone is worthy of anything. Scott Richardson, a dear, dear preacher that I love very much, and I quote him all the time, but I remember him saying years ago, if you'd really know a man's character, really know a man's character, ask his wife, ask his children, ask those who know him best. Go into his home. Watch him. And ask those who know him best what kind of character he has. And if you want to know what he is, you're going to ask those that know him the very best. Well, look what's said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's at home. He's at home. And there's 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of them there. There's 20 elders. That represents the patriarchs of the Old Testament and the 12 apostles of the New Testament. The saints of the old and the saints of the new. And here it says this. They said, thou art worthy. They sung a new song. They began to sing. Could you imagine all them singing? Oh my, we know. Sometimes we'll be singing, and I can even tell myself when I'm off, you know, when I'm out of key, when the other fellow's in. But here's the thing about it. Christ alone is worthy. And here he is at home. And they sung a new song. And this is what they say about him at home. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. And what our Lord is thought of in glory, and here's the thing about it, he's thought this of in glory, where everyone there is perfect. Everyone there is perfect. There's no sin there. There's no imperfection there. They're not like you and I looking through a glass darkly. They see things clearly. They see things perfectly. These people here who are talking to him and saying that he is worthy, they know him as he is. And they know him as he was. What did it say there in verse 6? It said, right in the midst of the throne, there stood a lamb. A lamb. Capitalized, lamb. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God's lamb. God's lamb of his providing, as it has been slain. So when we're talking about being at home, looking at somebody's character, we see what they think about our Lord Jesus Christ at his home, where he sits in glory. And these people who know him, they can't possibly make a mistake. They themselves are without fault before the throne. And I tell you something, they know, and there's everybody that's in glory, not one person out of those 10,000 times 10,000s of thousands, out of those four beasts, out of those 20 and four elders, not one of them said, I'm worthy. There'll be nobody where Christ dwells, where Christ is as the lamb slain, nobody will get there and say, I'm worthy. There'll be a lot get there and say, well, Lord, we did. Christ said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But this is where the spirits of just men are made perfect. And I tell you what, they know that they aren't worthy, but they declare in the song that they sang the Lord Jesus Christ alone is worthy. It says there was a book. There is a book. And there wasn't no one worthy to open that book. Not no man. No man. No man on this earth. They couldn't even open it. Not even, couldn't, the scriptures tells us they couldn't even look upon it. Couldn't even look at it. But there stood this Lamb. And he took that book and he loosed the seven seals thereof. And when he did that, it says there in verse 9, and they began to sing a song. They began to sing. What did they sing? The first word out of their mouths, you. You, Lord. You. You, Lord. You, the blessed Lamb. You, the root of David. You, the line of the tribe of Judah. You, Lord God Almighty. You, the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to sing that song. Thou art worthy. And I tell you, that's what we sung this morning, the first song we sung. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And they adore him. And I tell you what, they worship him and adore him before the throne. You know there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Do you know that? Silence in heaven. Do you keep Revelation 5? Look over here in Revelation 8. Look what it says now. He's opening these seals. And when opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half an hour. What was they quiet about? What made them so quiet? There was silence in heaven when that strong angel asked with a loud voice, who is worthy to open this book? Well, those four beasts and the angels and the elders stood by with awful solemnity, because they stood and they knew that that book in God's hand, that book of them sitting on that throne, there was nobody worthy to open that book. And there's nobody worthy to make God's mind known, God's power known, God's grace known, God's love known, God's majesty known, God's will known, God's decrees known. And that's what contained in that book. But look what happened. And by this song, when he came forth and opened that book and loosed the seals thereof, they said in unison, he alone is worthy to take that book. He alone is worthy to loose those seals. He alone is worthy to reveal the purpose of God. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, this is so sad. I was reading an article back years ago, and when we was all lost, you know how our lives was governed? By luck, by chance, by misfortune, by Mother Nature. But now, our lives are governed by one thing, God's purpose. Everything he does on purpose. I love that. He said he declared his purpose. And who shall stay his hand? And who can reveal the purpose of God? Only one person can make God's purpose known, can make God's will known. That's the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder they said, you're alone worthy. Huh? You see, I'm going to tell you something, beloved. He is the Word of God. Not only is he what opened the book, but he himself is the Word of God. He's the one that reveals God. And this is the thing that people miss. They think that they can reveal God, that they can see God everywhere. But you can't see God nowhere until you see him first and foremost in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ will reveal him as he is. Amen. Reveal him as a sovereign, as an almighty, as his Father with all power in heaven and earth vested in him. I'm telling you, he reveals God's heart. And what I mean by that, I mean he reveals God's heart, that God's blessed love and blessed grace and blessed mercy. Now I know we know that God ain't got a heart. We understand that, but we still, He uses words to speak to us. To speak to us. He reveals His purpose. And you know, men call them decrees of God. But when you talk about God, there's only one decree. Just one. He don't have a dozen decrees. He has just one. Isaiah 46:9 said, He declared the end from the beginning, saying, all my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now what does it mean, declare the end from the beginning? He said, that's what I want to accomplish. That's my will. And when I get to the end of it, there'll be no more. Time will cease to be. So when am I going to start? Whenever I will. That's back in eternity when He started. Huh? And I tell you what, everything in between is as much ordained as that thing that goes on to the, from the beginning to the end. Now, you worship a God like that. No wonder they said, Thou alone art worthy. Huh? We're not... You know, He reveals God's love. He reveals God's mercy. He reveals God's justice. He reveals God's righteousness. And He reveals to His people and sinners that everything they need is found in Him. Everything they need. And I tell you, if I'd never find a sinner, there's a few in here, not many, but there's a few in here, that they find all they need in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not looking for anything else. Huh? Oh my. You know, look what else it says here. It said, oh my, they sung that song. And I said, He's worthy. They sung that He's worthy to take that book and loose the seals thereon. You know why He reveals that book? Because He was the one who fulfilled that book. He's the one who fulfilled that book. That book concerned everything about Him. Do you know that? This book that He looked on and opened up, everything in it was about Him. It's all about Him. Over in Ephesians 3:11, you look at when you get home, He says, God had an eternal purpose in Jesus Christ. Everything that God purposed was purposed in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's will fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's decrees carried out by the Lord Jesus Christ. God's purpose, everything about God begins with Him and ends with Him. Look what it said over here in Revelation 1:8 about it. You know, I get so frustrated with myself that I cannot describe and deal with the Lord Jesus Christ as He is worthy to be. I can't describe Him. I can't articulate. I can't come up with the words. I can't come up with the emotions. I can't come up with the honesty. Can't come up with the sincerity. I can't come up with nothing at all that can describe the Lord Jesus Christ as He is. That's why they began to sing a new song. And all they could say was, You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Look what He said here in Revelation 1:8. This is our Master speaking now, Lord Jesus. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. Now, I don't know a thing in the world about Greek. I don't know Greek language. I know some of the numbers. Alphabet. But here's the first Alpha is the A of a Greek alphabet. Omega is the Z of the Greek alphabet. So that means He's the beginning. He's the whole alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. That's it. Boy, he'd done that in years. But I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Oh my. Listen to this. The Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh my. Huh? When we talk about history, You know, people want to change history. They all want to. Everybody wants to change their own history. They want to change the history of America. People like to change history. But I'm going to tell you something. History, you know what it is? It's His story.
Amen.
It's His story. That's what history is. His story. My history starts with Him and it'll begin with Him. And when He saved me, my history started. And when He takes me to glory, my history will end. But I'm His story too. I'm a story of His grace. I'm a story of His power. I'm a story of His love. I'm a story of His will. I'm a story of His purpose. I'm a story. I'm one of His stories. One of His stories. Are you? Ain't that something? You're one of His stories. And He's already got it all written out for you. He's got it all written down. There ain't no apostrophes. There ain't no semicolons. And He got it all wrote down for you. And He got the last line put in there and a period on it. And when that period's put there, that means that's the end. Oh, what a blessed thing to be His story. Our life begins and ends with Him. And then not only did I say He's the fulfiller of that book, but He's the only one that can interpret that book. Huh? Look over, keep Revelations. Look with me over here in Matthew 11. Look at Matthew 11 with me. You know, our Lord Jesus, He says, no man has seen the Father. But He came, the Lord Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The Son hath declared Him. Hath declared Him. Come to tell Him out. Come to declare God. But look what it said here in verse 27. Matthew 11. All things. I love when we see all things. Are delivered unto me and my Father. Well, what about my free will? All things are delivered unto me and my Father. What about my rights? All things are delivered unto my Father. And no man knows the Son. Nobody knows the Son. But the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father. Only the Son. And He to whomever is the Son will reveal Him. He's the one that has to take God Himself and reveal Him out to us. He interprets to us the mind of God. His Spirit takes the things of God and shows it unto us. This is how we see. It's just like in the creation. It's like in the creation. It was dark. It was dark. God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And the darkness was gone. Well, that's what God does for us in Christ. He commands the light to shine out of darkness. Where does He cause it to shine at? In our hearts. What does He do that for? So we can see God's glory. Where's the only place you can see God's glory at? In the person, in the face, in the blessedness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He turns on that light, boy, you know it. You realize, I'm not in darkness anymore. I can see. I couldn't see that before. I see it now. I didn't understand that before. I understand that now. Oh, my. Let me show you John. Folks, look in John 6 with me just a minute. Just a moment here. I got to quit saying just a minute because it takes longer than that. But oh my, you know, we're talking about He has to interpret, God does. You know, when you got a copy machine, and they got copy machines now, I mean, they are incredible. I mean, man alive, they can take a, They can take, you know, you take your master and you put it there and you put that there and you put your copy out there and lay the copy and the master side by side. And you say, lay them out there and say, which one's the master and which one's the copy? And you'll say, boy, I don't know. But if you start looking real, real close, you'll be able to see the one that's just the copy. If you look close. Well, I tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ is no copy. He's the master. He's the master by whom everything else gets all of its light, gets all of it. He copies us himself in us. He takes himself and shows himself to us, reveals himself to us, makes himself known to us, and changes us someday into his glory. But look what he said here, in talking about Christ. He as the fulfiller of that book. He has to interpret that book. Look what is said here in verse John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Now listen to this now. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. And when God teaches a man, listen to this, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, what does he do? He comes to me. He comes to me. And I tell you, if God ever shows you Christ and brings you to Christ, and I'll tell you this without any fear or favor, and I've said it time and again, if I ever got an opportunity to preach to a multitude of people, I would preach that there ain't but one person in this universe. And the universe is not in God. I mean, God's not in the universe. The universe is in God. And if any man can have anything to do with God, see God, know anything about God, know God, it'll be by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If anybody's ever saved from sin, it's going to be Christ. If anybody's ever going to have a fellowship with God, it's going to be through Christ. If anybody's going to have their sins washed away, it's going to be by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no two ways to get to glory. You go your way, I go my way. There ain't but one way. Our Lord says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And I love that. I love the fact I can't get confused. There's so many people confused in this world. Preachers tell them, go here, go there, join this church, join that church. Believe this doctrine, join up with us and go get in this outfit and go get another outfit and sign a card, come to the front, do something, do anything. And they give you 1,000 things to do. Then they'll tell you how to live a holy life and how to be dedicated and how devoted you need to be and all that stuff. But I tell you, the only thing that matters in this world, the only thing that matters in this world, the only way in the world God will ever do anything for anybody is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, I'm so thankful for that. You can't get confused when there's just one. Can you? If there's one Savior, you can't be confused over that. If there's one way, you can't be confused over that. You know, when we go up to Lexington, we go through a half a dozen roads. Some of them just not much more than a pig path. You go around them roads, and you go across this other road, and you go around this road, and you go, and you know, we're going everywhere. You can't hardly get there from here. You got to go. But I tell you, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're going to go and be with God, you're going to have anything to do with God. There ain't no curves. Just one way. You know what? He made the mountains down here. He made the valleys up to here. And he said, there's the way. Right there. And I'm that one. If you want to know it, I cannot stress that enough. I tell you what, I can't stress it enough for myself. Huh? Does that bless your heart to know that there ain't but just one Savior? One way? There's not a half a dozen truths. People say truth is relative. Relative to what? Your opinion? Your thoughts? Your ideas? Truth's not relative when it comes to God. It can be relative, you know, about what color paint you want to paint something or what kind of work you want to do. But when it comes to God, truth's not relative. There ain't but one truth. That's the solid truth, the glorious truth. And that truth is in Christ Himself. Wouldn't it be awful if we had two truths we had to believe? Old timers called it the old Bible and the new Bible. What's the old one? What's the new one? It's God's book. It's God's book. You know, He declared Himself in Genesis and end up with Revelation. But oh my. Oh, it'll be if your old God do something for you for Christ's sake. That's what I say. God do something for Christ's sake. Do you believe that in your hearts? I ask you right now, some of you, do you really truly believe that in your heart? I won't be as honest with you as I can. If you're going to speak to God, if God speaks to you, you're going to have to go through His Son. If you need anything from God, you're going to have to ask His Son. If you want to be accepted of God, you've got to comes accepted in the Beloved. If you want righteousness, Christ the only one can give it. Oh my. Believe me. Oh. And He is worthy. He alone is worthy. And that's the song that they sang in heaven. Thou art worthy. And why do they say He is worthy? Go back over here in Revelation 5. Why do they say He is worthy? Why did they sing that new song? Back in verse 9, they sung this new song. Why did they sing this song and say He was worthy? Well, it says down there, for Thou wast slain. That's why you were slain. That's why you're worthy. You were slain. You were slain. You was crucified. You died. You died. You were slain. Who slew you? It pleased the Lord to make His soul an offering for sin. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Well, who did He bruise Him for? For our iniquities. Who was He wounded for? Our transgressions. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquities of us all. You know, there's a covenant. There's a covenant of grace. And there's two sides to a covenant. Two sides to a covenant. And in God's covenant, God's part was to give Christ a people. To give His will into the hands of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To give all blessings unto Him. And to make everything, all the salvation of all His people, conditioned on what Christ Himself would accomplish. Salvation is conditional, but not conditioned on us. It was conditioned on Christ. God, as the old timer said, don't put all your eggs in one basket. God did. And I'll tell you what, you know what our Lord's part was? He said, Father, I come to do Thy will. I come to glorify You. I delight to do Thy will. And our Lord's part was to fulfill that will that God gave Him to do. To do that work that God gave Him to do. To save those people that God gave Him to save. And to finish the work that God gave Him. And He came into this world. And He lived holy, sinful, gloriously blessed life, hated and despised and rejected of men. And then He finally went down one day, and it come time for Him, His hour come, that He had to be taken by the hands of wicked men. And they had to crucify Him. He was talking, "Oh Lord, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And they took our blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, and they took Him and beat Him and slaughtered Him and slapped Him and spit on Him and done all kinds. And then they nailed Him to a cross. Blood all over. They nailed Him there. And that was the will of God that Christ had to finish. But bless His holy name. They took Him down off that cross because He is dead. And they buried Him because He is dead. But they had to pull those nails out of His hands because they said they saw Him as a lamb had been slain. And they said, "Thou was slain." How'd they know He was slain? Because He had the marks in His body. And I tell you, they took Him down and laid Him down. And then on the third morning, He was resurrected. And beloved, but right before His last breath, before He died, you know what He said? "It is finished." What are you going to do about that? Nothing. I'm going to rest my soul right there. I'm going to rest my body there. I'm going to rest my soul there. I'm going to rest my mind there. I'm going to rest everything about me right there. It is finished. That's what I'm going to do. Huh? You know, if Christ was standing behind me, which He is, He's in front, He's all around me. But if I had 10,000 souls, I could throw every one of them back on Him. And oh my, He honored His Father. He satisfied His justice. And how did He do that? By on that cross, as having been slain, He put away sin once and for all by the sacrifice of Himself. Huh? He went in His own blood into that holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. And I tell you, that's what a blessed thing. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. Huh? Oh, my. All gone. All my sins, from the one I inherited from my mother, from my father Adam, that sin that I was born with, till the last sin I'll commit before I leave this world, Christ took care of every single one of them. And you know how many sins that I don't even know I've committed? I don't have any idea. I couldn't. If you could number them, I don't. How would you do it? There's not a computer that could do it. Tell how many sins we could. But ever how many they were, Christ dealt with every single one of them. Huh? No wonder they sang, "Thou art worthy." No wonder they sang that new song. You see, He had the right to take that book. He had the right to claim all of it as His. He fulfilled it all because He says, "Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain." Huh? This is their song. I tell you something they didn't sing. "Thou art worthy, for You was born on earth." They didn't sing that. They didn't sing, "Thou art worthy because You lived a holy life," and though He did that. But they sang a new song because He said, "Thou wast slain." Slain. Huh? He paid all the debt of all God's people's sins in His own body on that tree. "For Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain." And this is our song. I sang that song. Uh-huh. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. This is our soul's rest. This is what gives peace to our conscience. "Thou wast slain." And then they say He is worthy and they worship Him as their Redeemer, because the next word says this: "Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and people." Now what does that mean? "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by Thy blood." You all know what redemption is. You remember Boaz and Ruth? Ruth was a poor Moabitess. She wasn't even supposed to come in the people of God. But there was a man named Boaz. He was a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. And Ruth was so poor, she had to follow around and get down on her hands and just pick little bitty pieces of grain up and carry it home so she'd have something to eat. Her and her mother-in-law. And Boaz said, "Who is that woman?" "Oh, that's Ruth. That's Naomi's daughter-in-law," said. "Oh, my. I'm her kinsman. I'm her near kinsman. What does that mean?" "That means I can redeem her. I can take her and buy her to myself and pay all of her debts, and she'll never have to glean in the field again. She'll never have to do anything again. She'll be mine. She'll belong to me. Why? Because I've got the price to pay." "Oh, well, somebody else has got some price to pay. I'll pay whatever's worth." And it's like Homer, Hosea and Gomer. Y'all know the story of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea, God said, "Go marry a woman." He went and married a woman. That woman, after a while, she began to go out on him all the time. She went out and had this man, had this other man, had another man, had another man, had another man, had another man. And all the time, Hosea was taken, putting food by her door, putting wine by her door. Didn't know that Hosea was taking care of her. And that's the way we were. Oh, my. And then, oh, Gomer got old. She got used up. Sin had destroyed her. Her lifestyle had destroyed her. And they put her up here and said, what price will you give me for this old woman? What price will you give me for this old woman whose sin has just brought her down so destitute? What price will you give me?" Hosea stood up. Said, I'll give you 30 pieces of silver. And he bought back his wife. And that's what God did for us. We wasted our life in sin, and Christ came and paid our debt. Put them on the block. Christ said, "I'll pay their debt." "How great is it?" "I don't care. I've got it. I've got more riches than this world could ever. I've got more wealth than anybody in the universe. I'm the heir. I've got everything." Oh, we sold our souls into sin and slavery. God couldn't accept us without violating His justice. And the price of our freedom was paid. He said, "We is redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." And let me tell you something. The song they sang here, it's not general. Oh, it's not a general redemption. He didn't say, listen, thou was slain for everybody. He said, "Thou was slain for us, a particular people." Huh? "Oh, thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, every nation, every people." Oh, and I'll tell you something, we weren't redeemed like Judas was. No, general redemption don't do anybody any good. No. A general redemption, if people say Christ died for everybody and his blood is for everybody, if they'll make it available, he makes it available to them if they'll just take it and apply it to themselves. But a general redemption doesn't redeem. And a general Savior who died for everybody does not save anybody. But He is going to present His church without blemish and without spot to God Almighty. Huh? Ain't He? Oh my. And I'll tell you something. Look over in Isaiah 40 with me. When the redemption becomes personal, when what Christ's blood becomes personal to you and washes you from your sin, and you understand that He died for you, when it becomes personal, you know what you do? You'll start singing too. Look what it says over here in Psalm 40. Oh my. Look what he says here, the psalmist does. I waited patiently for the Lord. And oh my. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Will you cry to him today? Cry out to the Lord today. Cry out to him now. And then, oh, because he heard my cry, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. Oh, what a pit we was in. Pit that you couldn't get out of. And it was miry clay. I've been in clay, and I know some of you have too, that you got your boots on and the clay just stuck the boot right off your feet. And that's what he said. Set out of the miry clay. And listen what it said. He brought me up. He didn't say, now I'm going to put a ladder down there and you climb up. No, no. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And listen to this. Set my feet upon a rock. Something solid. Foundation. And established my goings. And listen to this now. And he put a new song in my mouth. What is that song? Even praise unto our God. To God be the glory. Great things he had done. And I tell you what, many's going to see it. Oh my, I see it, you see it. And all the fear, and shall trust the Lord. David said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of his enemy. Oh my. They sung a song, singing, Thou art worthy. And then look back down here in verse 12 with me, back in Revelations, and I'm going to quit. Oh my. And listen, there was 10,000 times 10,000 and lots of angels around the throne. And look what they said in verse 12. And they all sang, and they was all singing, and they was all praising the Lord, saying with a loud voice, Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all power. He has all the riches. He has all the wisdom. He has all the strength and all the honor and all the glory and all the blessing. And this is what's going to happen one of these days. Bless his name. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, even them under the earth, God's going to bring them up. And as such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Oh, what a blessing. Is he worthy? Oh, he's worthy. Our Father. Oh, our Father. Abba Father. We bless you that you allowed us to look into your word again. Look into the Lord Jesus Christ to see him. Hear some things about him. And Lord, he's the one we worship. He alone is worthy of our worship, our praise, and our thanksgiving. Oh, with the whole real nature of mind, that's a present far too small. For love so amazing and so divine demands my soul, my life, my all. Oh, Lord Jesus, all we can do is say bless you, praise you, and thank you. Thank you for yourself. Thank you that you were slain, bought us with your blood, washed away all our sin and stains. Thank you. And God bless the word and the gospel to the hearts and minds here today for Christ's sake. Amen. 45 in the hymn book. 45. Let's stand together. 45. No, that's not it. I was wanting to all hail the power. 42. Yeah.